The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Now, the front page of today's Irish Times had a story based on a freedom of information disclosure that the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, during January, when we were in the depth of the third wave of the COVID-19 pandemic, was querying his own Department of Health's Twitter feed and as to why it wasn't mentioning him in the various posts it was making, and how an analysis had pointed out that the Chief Medical Officer, Tony Holohan, was mentioned 21 times, or in 21 tweets by name. Neffet and other members were also mentioned, but that the department boss himself, the Minister Stephen Donnelly, wasn't. Kate Shanahan, Head of Journalism and Senior Lecturer at TU Dublin. Does he actually have a point, much as he may be mocked today as Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, that if his own department is putting information out there, that they should be bringing him into it as the minister and not excluding him while at the same time name-checking other people?
Well, there's two arguments on that. The first argument is, yes, you know, he's the minister and therefore what he has to say is really important in terms of the Department of Health, particularly in a public health crisis. The other argument is that the Department of Health would be one of those departments, much like finance and you know, government departments that deal with big policy issues, where if they're giving information, it's in terms of public information. I thought, you know, writing to Public Affairs Communications Masters in TU Dublin, one of the things I would say to them is that you have to distinguish between when you're writing for a politician personally or a minister personally and when you're putting out public information. So I presume the argument they would have made, the civil servants in the department, is that it wasn't an attempt to ignore him as minister. It was more that they were doing what they do best, which is putting out relevant information from the experts in the area as quickly as possible. They don't have a huge amount of interaction, funnily enough, on their Twitter, which is probably why when they're putting out stuff, it's not meant for engagement or for popularity or for likes. It is about making that information available, not just to the public, but to the media and to all other interested parties.
Barry McLaughlin's with us as well, Senior Communications Consultant with the Communications Clinic. Ministers have access to the airwaves. They can put out press releases that get picked up by the print media and by broadcasters. But how important is it now in the social media era for politicians, particularly ministers, to actually get their name onto as many things as possible?
Well, I think the thing to remember, Matt, is that social media is just one channel. And I think it's very interesting that we're on traditional media this evening talking about something that has to do with social media. So it's always important that politicians remember that things that happen on social media and that they say on social media or comment on can actually get on to mainstream media and can actually be amplified to a bigger audience. Like, if you look at Minister Donnelly's situation, I mean, he must be wondering where Simon Harris is going to hop up next, because he's just taken over a department where Minister Harris was perceived to have done a very good job and be very popular. He's also in a situation where he's sharing a constituency with them as well. And the discussion we're having now about the likes and the mentions and everything, his predecessor, Simon Harris, is an absolute past master at social media. And he's that right demographic. He knows social media. He knows how to use it and engage it. If you do it well, it's very, very effective. What it doesn't suit, though, Matt, is someone who's impulsive, someone who's worried about what other people are saying about them, what other people are, how they're perceived. And I think that Minister Donnelly in this situation, if you look at the way that this is playing out, I mean, this story is 12 hours old. We're now talking today about how he reacted or perceived to react to how he has been dealt with on social media. This is the biggest day in public health in a long, long time. Restrictions been released. And in an 18-minute interview the minister did on another station this morning, at the very end he was asked about this story, about having this inquiry, and he couldn't give an answer. This story was on the front page of the Irish Times. He couldn't give an answer to say and explain why he had done what he did. Kay had mentioned earlier on that health is one of those departments. People look to it for advice, look to it for information pertaining to big, meaty public issues. I don't think what has happened, and I don't think the way it has played out, is going to do Minister Donnelly any favours at all.
Of course, it also strikes me, Kate Shanahan, that he's probably likely to be livid with his own officials who put it in writing and left it available to be seen once a Freedom of Information request was made that this had been going on?
I would assume it's an indication of how much pressure and stress they're under, because I'm hearing from people working in government departments that everything is by phone calls. And it's not just them, in big, you know, semi-states, it's the same thing. People are so afraid of FOI requests. So it's unusual that this information would be so readily available. And, you know, I deal with hundreds of emails a day from all kinds. I mean, I feel like a lawyer sometimes, because I keep thinking, I'd better be careful how I answer this. You know, is there any comeback on it? So I you know, looking at it from a positive viewpoint, I would assume they, you know, nobody was out to hang the minister in this case. But the problem is that thinking that your, you know, behaviour on social media is somehow going to make you popular is like thinking in the old days that if you're on radio, that you're automatically going to get a gig on television, because social media has a way of finding you out. If there's any insincerity, if, you know, if you haven't already built up a base, if you're in government, the worst place you can be really is on social media, because most of the people who want to contact you have a beef with you. If you're, you know, backbencher, you're in opposition, you're master or mistress of populist politics, social media is the place for you if you're trying to develop a persona for yourself. Thinking that if I get more likes or if I get more publicity on social media, I'll get my message across. You know, you're not the Kardashians. You're not of interest to the public except when they want things from you or they want you to do things. And if you're a minister and you're on social media, the automatic reaction is you must have nothing else to be doing except to be on social media. So the automatic reaction today, obviously, to the minister is, why are you asking questions about this when, you know, people are dying and everybody's wondering about the vaccine? This is what we want you to be doing. Now, if you're a backbench person and you're on social media and talking about stuff, it's different. And funnily enough, I think it's right about Simon Harris, because I was just looking at, he was tweeting last night about line of duty. He got 1,700 likes. Most of his interactions were very positive. He's a minister for a third level. There aren't people going to say to him, you don't deserve to have time off on a Sunday night to be watching Line of Duty, in the same way as they would to someone like Stephen Donnelly, who's in a very senior portfolio at the moment.
Indeed. Well, just to finish on this, Barry McLaughlin, it has been said that particularly in Fianna Fáil, they're obsessed with the way that Sinn Féin is using Facebook, Twitter and other social media to appeal to a particular audience. But in addition to that, how much importance is it that if a press release goes out, that it won't appear as was sent out in a press release, but that on social media, that the message is effectively unmediated, it's not interfered with by a third party?
Yeah, and I think the thing about social media as well, that it's very tribal, you know, that if you look at social media, there isn't a lot of nuance a lot of the time. And you actually are sending out a release or information to a bunch of people who probably will either think you're great or don't have any time for you at all. And there isn't enough time or space in social media to kind of win the floating voter. I think that if you look at the way that Sinn Féin have done their business, they're going to predominantly a younger audience, and that's the way that audience consumes media right now. But if you want to win hearts and minds, and if you want, when it matters at elections and things like that, it's about listening, it's about engaging, it's about the full argument and having that debate. Oliver J. Flanagan always said that, you know, in the Midlands 60, 70 years ago, that it doesn't matter how much you're in the newspaper, it doesn't matter how much you're on the wireless, as he said, if you haven't looked a voter in the eye, shook their hand and explained your situation and your position to them, you're never going to be certain of getting that vote. So I think social media is a channel, it's not the only channel. And I think politicians need to be careful about getting sucked into the numbers game and being impulsive that the other side are doing X, therefore we must do Y in real time. And that does not lead to proper debate, proper policies. It tends to be a sparring match. And at the end of the day, that doesn't serve the voter. And voters will remember how people make them feel. And they always remember the person who caused them or the person who engaged with them directly. And politicians need to remember that at all times.
Barry McLaughlin from the Communications Clinic and Kate Shanahan, Head of Journalism and Senior Lecturer at TU Dublin. Thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word of Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.